It was Melbourne, 1964, when the Beatles came face to face with some of their Australian fans for the first time. And the Fab Four brought something else as well, our first taste of the hysteria called Beatlemania.
See which Beatles going to appear first, jumping up and down with excitement. Can you really believe this is happening, Chuck? There it is, there's the first one. Paul McCartney, I think. John George.
We have never seen anything like this in the history of this country. The crowd's gone mad. One seething mass of people.
Yes, we love the Beatles. Years later, the love of boy bands remains. Backstreet Boys as an example, One Direction, New Kids on the Block, Take That. But have the fangirls changed in their behaviours since those days in the Beatles? Director Jessica Leske explores fangirl culture over the decades in her new documentary called I Used to Be Normal, A Boy Band Fangirl Story. She's with me in the studio today with lifelong Beatles fan who features in the film TV producer Susan Bauer. Jessica, Susan, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi. Thank
you. Good to have you with us. Susan, I'm going to take you back to 1964, if I may. Is that all right?
Of course.
Do you remember standing or camping out overnight at Spencer Street Station, as it used to be called then?
It was the Southern Cross Hotel.
Southern Cross Hotel.
And my big sister chaperoned me, and we stayed out. I was 14. And I was interviewed by a British journalist and bored him senseless with all my details of the Beatles.
So you had all the facts and figures?
Absolutely, yes. Right. My favourite food was jam butties, the jam sandwiches and cups of tea. And the Beatles started to arrive, and I had no idea that there were thousands of people behind me. There was no pushing. There was no danger. We were just so happy and excited. And Ringo arrived last because he'd been ill. And the policeman said, if you break the barriers, you won't get to see him. So we started a chant, don't break the barriers or you won't see Ringo. We were incredibly compliant, but it was wonderful. And John stared straight at me.
I've heard John did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were compliant, but I take it noisy.
Oh, hell yes. I mean, my sister was deaf when we got home, ears ringing. Screaming, absolutely screaming, and in a lather.
Yes, tell me about that, because as I said, I think earlier on, this was the first example we'd ever seen of sort of this boy band mania at any stage of modern culture. So what did it feel like to be part of that hysteria?
Oh, it was sensational. It was the first time I'd been able to really let fly. I was a fairly conservative girl before that.
Well, a lot of women were back in the 60s.
Yes, yeah. And it was just so marvellous to let loose. I mean, I would be in the bathroom and a Beatles song would come on the radio. Mum and Dad would leave the kitchen because I would run in and just scream and scream and scream and not listen to it.
Wow.
It was hilarious.
Did your mum and dad find your behaviour confronting?
No. No. My father thought it was funny and my mother loved George.
Oh,
so she said if I was younger, I'd scream too.
And the fact that you said John looked right at me suggests that you're a fan of John.
Yes, I started off with Paul because he was cute, and at 14 he was sort of safe-ish.
Cute and,
As I got older and understood a few more things about myself and about boys and girls, it was John, and it stayed John till, unfortunately, the end.
Yes, I remember that day where I was.
Too.
Do you? Yeah.
Mm.
I'll come back to you in a sec there, Susan, because, Jessica, I want to go to you now. As the maker of this film, we have to acknowledge that you were a late developer as a fangirl yourself.
Yeah, so I, you know, was at high school at, you know, what is described as the kind of peak boy band era, where Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Take That and Five, all those bands were huge. And it just didn't interest me at all. I was dismissive of the music and really the fans as well. I thought, you know, to like popular music was simplistic.
In fact, you're not alone. So many of us were dismissive and contemptuous, as the protagonists in your documentary tell us, of that style of fandom.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, being the age that I was, you would have thought I would get swept up in it. It wasn't until I was 31 that it hit me with One Direction. And it hit me in a similar way to Susan describes. I could tell you every fact about One Direction. A song would come on the radio radio and I would be jumping up and down. I cried. They had a pop-up shop here in Melbourne and I went to the shop and I cried. And all these experiences were so foreign to me that it's kind of why this documentary came about. I was trying to understand why being a part of this fandom was having this effect on me. And had I missed out because I hadn't paid any attention to all the boy bands of the past.
Jessica, I'm intrigued. I want to go into a psych session with you right now. 31, why did this suddenly awake something in you, do you think?
I think maybe you're less self-conscious when you get a bit older. I was really happy just listening to pop music that made me feel good. I loved their video clips. They were so happy and innocent, you know, at a time when a lot of music videos you know, are quite misogynistic, are all about kind of money and possessions. And I watch a lot of music videos. So when I saw the One Direction ones, it was just so sweet and innocent. And actually, the first one I saw is quite Beatles-esque. It was for the song One Thing.
Right.
And they're dressed in three-piece suits and they're running around London being chased by fans. And it was a real throwback to that.
Which
kind
is, of course, the whole series, the whole movie Hard Day's Night.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
All about that
yeah.
For the Beatles.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. In fact, one of your girls who become women, because you follow them over years.
Yeah.
In this documentary is an Australian called Dara. And at one stage, she writes up on a whiteboard some of the features of what makes a boy band so attractive to younger women. Can we go through some of these features now? Because, Susan, I think you mentioned Paul at first. He was cute.
Mm.
So being cute's important.
Yeah.
What else?
What's interesting about a boy band, and it's not just women, but it is largely women. I think, you know, they do have a bigger appeal than just that. But what's amazing about boy bands and the genius of the marketing is having more than one member or one artist is that you have multiples and you give them all different personalities. Their
right.
managers assign them personalities. So yeah, you've got the cute one, you've got the mysterious one, you've got the sexy one. You've often got one who no one can remember the name of. It's kind of a bit of a filler. Maybe he's a good dancer, so you keep him.
And there's a father figure too, isn't there?
Yes, that has to be the serious one who kind of keeps them in line when they're joking. And that's really fun for, you know, when you're talking about the band with your friends and you can decide, oh, this one is, you know, I'll probably end up with this one because he's most like me or he reminds me of my brother. So, you know, if we were related, he would be, you know, in my family. You can kind of play with their personalities.
Yeah. And in terms of their sexuality, I thought there was a really interesting point made in this film of yours that they're not the girls, the younger girls, I exclude you, Jessica, so you're 31.
Yeah.
But the girls around the 14 to 17 age group who often are following these people, like you were, Susan, with the Beatles, have not necessarily a sexual connection with the band at first.
Mm.
Would you agree, Susan?
That's exactly what happened to me. It was so much fun. They were funny. They looked good. The songs were great. They spoke to us. Please, please me. I want to hold your hand. Yeah, please. I want to hold yours. Those sorts of things. But the Beatles grew up. They didn't remain the same.
They weren't a boy band forever.
No,
we're not claiming that.
Their music changed. They changed.
Well, they were innovators and instigators.
Absolutely. And as they changed, we changed. And as I said, when I matured somewhat, it was John.
In a sexual way.
Oh, God, yes. He made me feel peculiar in a wonderful way.
I think that's another thing that's really smart about boy bands and the marketing is those songs, I Want to Hold Your Hand, singing to a 14-year-old girl who the boys that she knows in her real life are not going to say,
no.
I want to hold your hand, but that's kind of what she wants to hear. So a boy band sing, you know, you don't know you're beautiful, that's what makes you beautiful. What 14-year-old boy is probably going to say that to you?
And that's an important point about boy bands, isn't it? Because some of their appeal is they sing about the purity of feelings.
Mm.
Like, I love you. Let's hang out together.
Mm.
I really want to get to know you.
Yeah.
It's not about money. It's not about misogyny.
Yeah, or sex. Yeah.
Or sex, yeah. Not necessarily.
And I think I often think about that we kind of make fun of men and, you know, the boys in the band when they speak so emotionally like that. But in the past, you know, it was the poets who were writing romantic sonnets. That was, you know, what everyone was sharing. But now if you speak romantically or sentimentally, that's kind of made fun of, I think.
I think you're right. You're listening to Life Matters on RN, where we're talking about what it's like to be in love with a boy band, with director of this documentary, Jessica Leskey, and Beatles fan, Susan Bauer. Have you been or are you still a fangirl or a fanboy? Who is your favourite boy band and why? You can tell us via email. That address is lifematters@abc.net.au. Jessica, another theme you explore in the documentary is the way the internet has kind of drastically changed the way boy bands interact with their fans. I mean, clearly, back in the Beatles days, there was nothing like this, but there were fan magazines and they had their little Christmas messages they put out. What happens now with modern technology and the way that relationship is maintained?
Yeah, I find it quite confusing for me if it's become a positive thing or a negative thing, having that much access to the guys in the band, because you know, you can tweet them, you can follow them on Instagram.
You can go on holidays with them.
Oh, yes, oh. That's true. You can go on a cruise with
the Backstreet Boys.
Or with New Kids on the Block, or even Kiss, actually. Kiss was doing a cruise, so if Kiss is your band of choice.
I found this astounding. Just tell people about this in the documentary, the Backstreet Boys, because is it Sadia, who goes...
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of a blurry line when the bands become man bands, not boy bands.
Yeah.
So yeah, once everyone is of age, you can go on a cruise with them for a few days around the Caribbean.
And there's nothing creepy about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think from the outside, it probably sounds quite amazing because you're like, imagine that close access I can have to these artists that I love. I see them in concert every night. They do like a performance every night. But yeah, I think being all on one ship, as Sadia in the film says, she says something like, I was an observer to my own insanity.
Yeah.
It was quite confronting for her to be having that experience every day after day, being that close to other fans. And even your idols, you kind of want some distance from them, I think.
Otherwise, the mystery is blown.
Totally. That's what I was going to say, that I think the internet, part of that idea of imagining their personalities and what they might be like if you spent time with them is more fun to do if you don't know what they're actually like, because their real personalities are probably not as good as you imagine them to be.
Susan, were you happy to keep John as a mystery hero figure?
Yes, and the older I got and the more I read, I was definitely happy meet him. I think he was a moody person. I think he was probably quite difficult to work with. I enjoyed his music. I enjoyed his interviews. I've got all his poetry and his cartoons and all of that. And I really... I would have liked to have seen some more performances, but I would not have liked to get to know him. I really wouldn't.
Because you were in love with his creative output.
Oh yes,
as much as the man who seemed to be the boy, the late teen, early 20s man that you loved. You know,
he was so clever.
Yeah.
And I understand, I think Paul McCartney is very clever too, but in a more commercial way, which is great. Good on him. It's fantastic. You know, and Ringo is Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm all for it. But, you know, truly. But it's George, I think, was incredibly creative and the quiet one. And I know a lot of girls actually who picked Ringo to fall in love with because he probably wouldn't get as many fans as the others.
Indeed so. And yet he's still playing, of course. There
he is.
Jim has just texted in from Sydney to say, Beatles are not a boy band. They never were. Boy bands consist of boys who don't play instruments, says Jim. Is he right?
Well, I mean... You know, I've made a lot of enemies over the years calling the Beatles a boy band. But in the film, you know, we do kind of break down what a boy band is.
Yeah.
You know, in our opinion. And, you know, for me, so we're talking very early Beatles, the early years where they were wearing matching outfits.
Brian Epstein marketed them.
Exactly. We're not talking about before they were, you know, Brian came on board and they were wearing leather jackets and being unruly on stage.
No.
He came on board, put them together into this, you know, neat, cohesive, matching outfits, singing I Want to Hold Your Hand, so boy bandy. They were all very young. A big part about boy bands is being kind of under 21 when you first get together, which I think Paul turned 19, had his 19th birthday or something here in Melbourne.
Yep. And then they walked away.
And not
away
having
from
a front man. That's
right.
A big thing about it. It's not about instruments. It's
everyone's
that
on
not,
the front row.
So the Rolling Stones, you know, sing sexy songs and, you know, Mick Jagger is very much their leader. But the Beatles, Paul and John shared it. George and Ringo sang occasionally. The message in those kind of early songs were either really happy party songs you know, sweet kind of love songs.
And the difference, of course, Jim, and I think I understand where he's coming from, is that they walked away from that imaging.
Yeah, they evolved.
And they walked
totally
away from live performance and went into the studio and created some of the most memorable music ever, including, of course, we're celebrating 50 years since the launch of the White Album, you know, the double White Album. But look, back to this now, and I just wanted to ask you, because I know that boy bands, for so many people in the documentary, Jessica, for you, Susan, for many girls and boys out there who were complete fans of them is they were an emotional pit prop during some of those tough times. Susan, is that something you
agree with? Yes, very much so. And this was when we were 14. A girlfriend of mine was diagnosed with leukemia, and there was only another girl, schoolgirl, who knew that. So she didn't know. So we protected her, and it was a terrible responsibility for a 14-year-old. And the Beatles was a way of just keeping everything going when she was having chemo and her hair was falling out, and she died. And the Beatles were there for, they were there for us.
Susan, you've chosen as a little way to say farewell and maybe in tribute to your late friend as well is a song, a favourite one of your songs from the Beatles. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yes, that's Sgt. Pepper's. I had terrible trouble choosing this because every album, every song means something to me. I'm always there. But Sgt. Pepper's was when I was 17 and I went from living at home with my parents to living in the nurse's home when I did training at the Alfred Hospital. So I was a big girl now.
To play us out then, here's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band from the album of the same name. Thank you to Susan Bauer and director Jessica Leske, whose documentary I Used to Be Normal, a boy band fangirl story, is in cinemas right now. Jessica, Susan, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.